We have now come to our catechism lesson. If you'd like to follow along, please turn to your back of your blue Trinity hymnal on page 672. We have arrived at question 106. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation in unison read the answer with me. Question 106 states, what do we pray for in the sixth petition? In the sixth petition, which is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we pray that God would either keep us from being tempted to sin or support and deliver us when we are tempted. A lot is expounded in this answer, and much more can be said, but my time is short. So, to give you the crux of where this answer is leading us, we must understand once again what the petitions have acknowledged about mankind. We have frailties. We are in sin, doomed not to obey the law of God. So therefore, with a changed heart and a willing mind by the Spirit, you make your petitions known to God through Christ. So then in this petition, it tells us that we have the proposition to be tempted. We have the proposition to do things that intrigues us. And mindfully, in the intriguement of it, it's not so much that you are intrigued, it's the very fact that the thoughts and the very notions of what you are intrigued by, would it cause you to violate the law of God? In the larger catechism, it expands even further. For the answer asks that we acknowledge to the wise, most righteous, and gracious God, who is all holy and has just ends. He orders all things. And therefore, we may ask that in this life, in a time where we be led by temptations and Satan, and we are rarely powered against them, you will deliver us and keep us. For we know by our own sin we are tempted. James 1 verse 4. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. And mind you, again, because of the changed heart and the workings of the Spirit, we fight with the members of our body as they look in need to do what is disobedient to God. Romans 7, 23, 24. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind, and make me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in my members. Wretched man that I am. And seeing as so much, seeing that you will go on to sin against God by falling into your temptation, God will deliver you and leave you in it if you are not of his own. Psalms 81, 11 and 12. My people did not listen to my voice, and Israel did not obey me. So I gave them over to the stubbornness of their heart to walk in their own devices. So therefore you understand, we have a propensity to sin, and various things can intrigue us to do so. But in this answer, we ask, especially with the word but, that God will deliver us and keep us from evil. So therefore, we pray that in the way that God has ruled over this world, he helps us to subdue our flesh. He restrains Satan and continue to have order over all things. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 and 8. For this reason, keep me from exalting myself. There was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from exalting myself. Concerning this, I implored you, Lord, three times that it may leave me. And again, we ask that he quickens and watches over us. Continue to lean and show his ever-loving arm and shadow us as we make our daily ventures. Ephesians 3, 14 through 17. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derive its name, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with his power through his Spirit, so that Christ that may dwell in your hearts through faith be rooted in you in love. So I want to bring to your attention here two precepts about the understanding of temptation. And the reason why I say this is because there seems to be some sort of misguided thought when it comes to, well, I may venture to do something or see something, and you're thinking, is this going to be sin or is it not? As a Christian, you will want to have that thought. But to the humanists, they don't. Now, of temptation as described, there's two big key points. One more being a narrative, and the other one particularly being historical. Both historical in their own rights. But I want to bring to your attention just the mindset, and it will lead on to my conclusion, why it's very pertinent that the petition was written the way it was. Lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Remember our foreparents. In Genesis 2, 16 and 17, God gave a commandment. And this is where it's his exact words in the English translation. From any tree of the garden you may freely eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. Telling this to Adam, Adam then responds back and communicates this to his wife. But what does the serpent do? What is the greatest tempter of all mankind? What does he say to Eve? He said to the woman, indeed, has God said, you shall not eat from any tree from the garden? And the woman responds back and stating, from the fruits of the tree of the garden we may eat, but from the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat from it or touch it, or you will die. She first misquotes God in that understanding, but then look how Satan plays onto her temptation. He states back to her, for God knows that you shall not surely die, for in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So then what the narrative tells us, when the woman saw the tree and it was good for food and delight in her eyes, the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from it, and she also gave to her husband who was with her, and he also ate. So you can see here the notion of the appropriation of our bodies and the mindset and the framework, and that where we are being led into temptation, we are easy to fall into it and pray. And there you see the ramifications. We not only sinned against God, but also you notice the curses that came after it. But what of the Messiah? What has he done in terms of coming to this world so that he can bear our sufferings? We note this in Matthew. When Jesus was on his fast for 40 days and 40 nights, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. Now notice again here the stark comparisons and contrasts. And after he fasted, he became hungry. And it's interesting to think that because when people do become hungry after not eating, they seem to become delusional. So it's kind of interesting to see that the scriptures will make note of this. But nonetheless, the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. Now, unlike the woman's answer, notice what the Messiah tells back to Satan. It is written that man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Clear point here. He looks back to the Messiah, looks back to God, and remain in his obedience. Again, the tempter continued. He took him to a holy city, and they stood on the pinnacle of a temple. And he said, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written. And note how he's quoting scripture here, quote unquote. He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone. The Messiah responds back, on the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, he reiterates the law of God, the command to being one with his Father. Once again, for the final time, the devil wants to take him even to higher hopes. So he took him to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said, go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. So after the devil left, the angels then catered to the Messiah, as it was written. You can see, clear in point, the difference that it makes when the Messiah is at work in your heart. And just by his example and the working of the Spirit that continues to allow you to mediate on his word, you can understand why in Hebrews 2:18 it states, he himself was tempted in which he has suffered, but he is able to come to the aid of those who were tempted. That was the reason why. That was the reason why we have that understanding of why the Messiah took in point the temptations and all the wills of the devil that can come towards him. He stuck back to the word of God. And that's what the petition continues to remind you. As you pray, you are looking to the Messiah, to mediate on the Father, that you're saying, yes, I am a fragile vessel, but please, with all mercy, be there so that I can continue to serve you and live my life in your word.